Amen, Lord Jesus. We are here and in your presence. And what a beautiful place to be. Father, let your light shine in this place. Illuminate this place. Light up our hearts that we might light a path for others to come to know you. At this time, I'd like to dismiss the kids for Children's Church. May God bless you, bless your teachers. May he prepare your hearts and ears to hear and receive from him just like he's preparing ours. Be blessed this morning, guys. Be blessed. Wooded Hills. Yeah, good morning. Wooded Hills, it's been said, a church in transition, a church that embraces change. I tend to use the phrase a church that's on a journey. And when you're on a journey, the scenery changes. It changes a lot. It's supposed to. We're not supposed to plateau. We're not supposed to be stagnant. We're supposed to change and be agents of change. You know, so repeat after me. Say, I'm changing.
I'm changing.
Oh, say it with passion. I'm
changing.
I'm changing.
I'm an agent of change.
I'm an agent of change. And I'm changing the world as I go. We have the opportunity to do that. We can change the world. As we allow God to change us and work through us, we can impact literally the world. And in the spirit of change, I thought I'd change clothes this morning. Well, just a little. I don't know if this is going to work. This is the t-shirt for this year's Shoebox Ministry. And it says, right across the front of it, the power of a simple gift. The power of a simple shoebox. The impact that we can have literally around the world through a simple shoebox. Al mentioned it earlier in the platform time, the shoebox collection. We're at the tail end of it. It ends tomorrow. So if you didn't bring your shoeboxes and you're planning on doing that, if you didn't get them in today, you've got till tomorrow. And then we pack up the semi that's out there and send it on its way. Currently, right now, as of this morning, Wooded Hills has filled about 250 shoeboxes. 250 from Wooded Hills, from this congregation. The community, because we resource the community in this ministry as well, the community has filled just over 3,000. So right now, sitting in our vineyard and in the trailer is somewhere around 3,300-ish shoeboxes, ready to be sent around the world to literally impact the world. And you've got a part in that. You know, Mary, yeah, cool. If I think about it, you know, there's roughly 200 or maybe 250 people just worshiping with us here in the building today. That's one shoebox per person, roughly. Maybe 1.2 if you want to get technical, but roughly a shoebox a person. Okay, and I recall about 4 or 5 years ago, and some of you have heard me bring this up on a number of occasions, that Mary Damron stood up on the stage here, and she's the national spokesperson for the shoebox ministry. And she's this little hillbilly kind of a lady, and I remember working through the details of scheduling her to come and speak. And I remember being warned ahead of time, you know, when Mary, if you book her, she'll probably get up on your stage, take off her shoes, take out her teeth, and start preaching. And she did. She did. But man, what a message. But she convicted me that she spoke in the morning and in the evening. She convicted me in a big way. See, I've always been involved in the shoebox ministry, and as a family, we've always filled one shoebox for everyone in our family, you know. So we'd always did 5 shoeboxes, and I'm kind of involved in leadership and doing this, and we'd do our 5 shoeboxes, and then Mary Damron comes and stands on the stage and speaks and says, you know what, I haven't met a family yet that can't do 20. And I was convicted. And I was convicted, and I had to evaluate my life. And what kind of sacrifice am I willing to make? What kind of sacrifice am I willing to make to impact the world with the gospel? With every shoebox that you guys fill, a booklet goes out. It looks like this. I brought a couple. One's in Spanish. This one's in English. But the gospel is presented to that kid, and that kid takes it home, and the gospel message goes to their whole family and life. are literally being changed around the world because of our willingness to sacrifice here. In the book of Luke, I believe it's chapter 12, Jesus is talking about the rich fool. And the rich fool, you know, just has this great harvest and has just a lot, an overabundance. And he says, well, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns so that I can just kick back and live on Easy Street. And I look at our country and I think we keep building bigger barns. We're investing here and we're investing at home. And I'm not sure that we're always investing with a godly mindset and a godly picture. And I get convicted by it. We're called to a life of service. We're called to a life of sacrifice. We're called to a life of suffering. I remember delivering a message a while back. That's the life we're called to. We're called to follow Christ's example, to make a difference in the world, not to build bigger barns, bank accounts, and portfolios. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, it talks about hearing and following. And in verse 9 it says, don't forget to tell your children. And all over through the Old Testament, there's numerous places where they'd pile up stones. And the purpose of those stones, you pile them up. And so that years later, when your kids say, hey, what's that pile of stones for? You can tell them the story of how God stopped the river and God's people crossed the Jordan on dry ground and delivered them and ushered them into the promised land. Don't ever let your children forget. And so there's all kinds of monuments and memorials that just throughout the Old Testament. In 2 Peter, it talks in a number of places in chapter 1, it talks about remembering these things. Establish them and remember them. Recall the words that were spoken. The verse in Joshua is where they piled up the 12 stones so they could cross. There's all kinds of things around us that cause us to remember and jog our memories. All of that leading up to this just revelation for you. I'm not into jewelry. I'm really not. Now you're wondering, how am I going to transition this one? I am not really into jewelry, but I wear it for specific purposes. I wear my wedding ring to remind me of the vow and the promise that I made, that I chose before God. I've had a necklace on, this one, I think for 3 years now. I don't take it off. There's a little girl living in a dump in Ecuador. And every time I remember I'm wearing this, I pray for her. Right there. Right there. I met her 3 years ago. You see, your shoeboxes get delivered all around the world. And I was invited along on one of those trips 3 years ago. And we went to the orphanages, and we went to the dumps, and we went to the poor and the underprivileged. And my hands were the ones that handed that little girl a box. We sit here in our little comfort zone, and we think, yeah, we did a cool thing. We filled a shoebox. Yeah, all right, go. It literally changes lives. Don't take it lightly. Don't take for granted what you can do through a simple shoebox. Today or tomorrow? What are you doing after church today? Going out for lunch? Why don't you skip lunch and fill another two more shoeboxes? Why don't you invest in her? Take advantage of the opportunity. Heavenly Father, may we never stop reaching out to the hurting, the underprivileged, and the neglected of this world. May we never take for granted the blessings that we have here in this country, here in this congregation. May we always be heavenly minded. May we truly impact and change the world as you change us, Father. Amen. We started a sermon series a couple of months ago called I Am, and we started it with a video clip right here. I am. A number of people have delivered those messages. I am the light of the world, Jesus' words. I am the light of the world. You'll find it in John. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. In me is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the gate for the sheep. We've looked at all seven of them. I think in your bulletin is just an outline, a place for you to jot down notes. What I'd like to do today is something a little bit different. What I'd like to do today is, as part of our service, I'd like to hear from you. It's kind of a service that's sort of out of the box, I guess. It's not a normal Sunday here at Wooded Hills, I guess, when it's an open mic time. And when mics are passed around and you have an opportunity to speak. But that's what I'd like to do today. I would like to hear from you. I'd like to open it up to you, to each and every one of you today. I want to hear from you. What did you learn? We just spent 2 months looking at all the I Am statements of Jesus. What did you learn? What do you remember? What impacted your life? What changed you? How are you different today because we just spent 2 months studying the I Am statements of God? Was it beneficial? Was it productive? Was it a good thing? And so there are a number of people who are prepared with mics today. And this is your day. You get to share. And so it's kind of going to, hopefully, we'll have more of a home group feel. Or a small group, or a Bible study feel, where I'd like you guys to testify to one another. What did you learn? What has God been teaching you and speaking to you? What's different? Because we just took 2 months out to study God's Word. I know it's always hard to be the first one, but that's where we're at today. How are you different today? There are two or three people with microphones. And you know, it can be an intense thing to speak publicly. I think I just got muted. They don't want to hear me speak anymore. They'd like to hear you. So what did you learn? What's different?
Read it first.
Thank you.
I've learned through this I Am that we can do all things through Christ. I was able to start a ministry of praying for people in a hospital that are extremely ill. And through the love that Jesus has for the sick, I am John Habeth, do a visitation once a week to these people. And two of them accepted the Lord as Savior. In 5 weeks, that's great. I feel that's great. God has, through this, I have learned to be more bold, to get the word out, to even just listen to people when they talk. And that helps them and makes them feel better and let them know that God really is a loving God because we are His assistants.
Amen. We're His ambassadors. We're His representatives. He is the light that has illuminated our hearts. I know one Sunday we stood up here with a big light, just lit up a pathway so that others could be led to Jesus. Praise God. You are His representative. You're His ambassador. his spokesperson. Very cool.
The thing that...
Flip that button up.
The thing that really stuck out in my mind was one Sunday, Mike had the bread machine, and as the message was going on, we could all kind of smell bread. We didn't actually, some of us didn't see the machine, but there was that aroma. And the verse was, I am the bread of life. You know, that message was, I am the bread of life. And the thing that really made a lot of sense to me is that we carry the aroma of Christ no matter where we go. As we go into the marketplace at Menards or Pick and Save, Walmart, is, you know, what are we sending out to other people? You know, what aroma, what are they smelling from us? Is it the stench of sin? Is it selfishness? Is it pride? Is it arrogance? Or is it the love of Jesus, compassion, being a servant, going outside of the box and touching people's lives and just noticing that they're there and acknowledging them?
I was just going to move that up there.
Okay. So that's the only way we're ever going to be able to touch this world, is being an example. When we walk into a place, we don't just walk in, we make an appearance. Jesus didn't just walk into a place. He always made an appearance. So.
Very cool.
I knew ahead of time.
Now, I'm going to just do a plug real quick. No, you stay right here. I try to shoot out an email once a week. Usually it's like every other week. It's called In the Loop. If you're a part of that email group, if you signed up for that, you had a heads up this was coming, didn't you? So if you'd like to be in the loop and have a heads up what's coming, sign up for it. Anyway, go ahead.
You know that song, You Are God and I Am Not? I was praying in it, or preaching to myself or something. I can't even remember why, but I said, you are God and I am not. And that's true. But as I said that, because we were in the I Am series, it made me think, yeah, you're the great I Am and I am the I Am Not. But there was a scripture that, you know, circled in my mind, and it was, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it just made me think about how God is an inclusive God, how he, whatever he's doing, you know, if he's the vine, then he wants us to be the branches. And he wants us to always be participating with him. And he's chosen the weak and the base and the foolish things of this world, the things that are not. Those are the things God's chosen. And he wants us to be a part of who he is. So by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he's the I am that I am.
Amen.
And I, about this inclusion thing, I just wanted to say, my son Nick has been with our family for 4 years. He came here from Bulgaria. And he doesn't speak much and has some learning disabilities where... you know, we were told he'd never be able to count or write his name. And we just had a conference on Friday, and he writes his name Nick Bailey. And I knew he could write Nick B.A. I didn't know he was writing the whole name now. That's a sequence that they said he'd never be able to do. And he's doing so well in his counting. He can count to 12. And they had been telling me he could read, and I thought, yeah, you know, with the picture, he can read. But he can read.
And praise God. He can read. That is so cool. About 2 months ago, I had a conversation with Nick. And it was like, he spoke. He spoke. He talked to me. It was just like, very cool. You know, so Nick is in process. Nick is changing. Nick's on a journey. Nick's growing along with all of us. Praise God. Praise God. When Ron taught one Sunday, he made this statement that has stuck with me. He said, I know I am not, but I know I am. I know I am not, but I know I am. And through I am, we can start hospital ministries and touch people and they're going to be saved. Through I am, we can gather together and worship Him, and He's going to empower us and equip us and send us out so that we change the world. Through I am, Nick is going to read. Nick is going to speak. Nick is going to keep growing. Very cool. So what have you learned? What's different? How have you changed?
Every time there's an invitation to speak, I always tell myself I'm not going to do it.
And if everybody says that and does that, it's going to be real quiet.
One of the things that, like, I don't know how this fits in with what we're talking about today. I'm assuming it does, and wiser minds than mine will probably tell me whether it does or it doesn't. You know, one of the verses that was referred to and in this series is not one of those, but, you know, it's one of the Bible verses. I had to look it up again just a few moments ago, and it's John 8:58. And it's where he says, before Abraham was, I am. And that one kind of sticks because he's saying, a very overt statement of, I'm in control, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see the big picture. I've been doing this a lot longer than you, so why don't you give up trying to be in control? And that statement sticks with me. And it sticks primarily because I'm a real impatient sort. And I want it now, and I want the solution right now. And in the course, I've had kind of a slow period in my business, and now it's going to be coming to that slow period, a screeching halt where I'm going to end up with a lot more work than I am going to have time to accomplish, I'm sure. But that's just one of the things. The other aspect of it is when he says, before Abraham was, I am, he's saying, I also got all the solutions to the problems. Now, are you going to have the guts enough to do it? I've had solutions thrown at me. And lately, I've said, okay, I'll go with them. I don't know whether this stuff is going to work, but I'm going to trust you, God, that you say it's going to work, and so I'm going to do it. And in short run on stuff, he's been right. I've been wrong. He had the solution. And that's kind of the effect, I guess, if you want to call it, that this has had, is that, you know, are you going to do this? I've been around a long, long time, a lot longer than you have, Jim. And so I got the solutions, and just, are you going to have the guts enough to pick them up and go ahead with them regardless, especially when it doesn't look like it's going to make any sense? So before I take up the rest of the service, I better. Yeah.
Before Abraham was, I am, declares the Lord. Before we were, God was. And he really does have all the answers and the solutions. Peggy?
I kind of got a experiential lesson from I Am the Resurrection, John 11:25. And let me just read it real quick. Jesus said to her, I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever continues to live and believes in, has faith in, cleaves to, and relies on me, shall never actually die at all. Do you believe this? He's talking to Martha, I believe. And I wanted to say that, you know, a couple years ago, within the last few years, both my parents died. My mom suddenly and my dad, I had about 2 month notice. And it is hard for me to go, and I don't go very often. I sit between their two graves. It is hard to do that. And I went on my dad's birthday shortly after we were doing this time, not too long ago. And I decided I can't let this be a sad time. I'm going to praise God for the life my dad had and how he used him. But the hard part, and so I was able to think of good things and all that and how God used him. But then when I got up to leave, I took about 15 steps and I turned and I said, I hate to leave you like this. Because I'd been saying that for about the last 7 years, leaving my mom in a wheelchair with my dad who had dementia, leaving her in pain, leaving her lonely. After she died, leaving my dad lonely, leaving him with his dementia. He left his apartment. Now he's in this. He was in this tiny bedroom, and my heart was always so heavy. And I'd always stand outside the door and say, "I hate to leave you. I hate to leave you." And of course, as I left the graves, I took those 15 steps, and I turned back and looked, and I said, "I hate to leave you like this." And I heard the Lord say, don't, not in the words, in the meaning, don't you trust me? You are not leaving them in a bad place anymore. You have left them with me, and they are in my hands.
Amen.
And they are safe in me. And I'm holding on to that, and I believe that. And I thought of Mary and Martha that believed but didn't totally believe. I think of the man who said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Well, my unbelief is getting stronger. And I believe that they are safe. I am not grieving about them being in the grave or in a bad place anymore. I know that they are with him, that they are safe with him, because he is the resurrection. He is the life.
Amen. Amen.
Let's see. Okay, it's like, I don't know if this has anything to do with it either, but I've been doing the shoebox ministry thing for like 3 years now, and every time I do five boxes, it's like five boxes. That's good. Why can't I grab another five boxes? So, I don't know. It's like, maybe after church, I'll just grab another five. So every time I go, I just get stretched and challenged even more, and I just can't wait to go. So those who are not on the list, I really challenge you to sign up, because it's like, what are we doing with our money? Are we just keeping it to ourselves, or are we using it to forward God's kingdom? Thanks.
The going that he was referring to is next week, Sunday. A group of about 40 or 45 of us will go up to Minneapolis and volunteer in Samaritan's Purse Warehouse and pre-sort and sort all the shoeboxes that have been collected in the upper Midwest. They get sent to a processing center there. And Minneapolis needs roughly 7,000 volunteers to get it done and to have over 700,000 shoeboxes sorted in the time span of 3 weeks. And so we've been going up there for a number of years and volunteering and doing that. So, Lisa?
I think that every one of these messages has been very powerful and just a really good reminder. Mm-hmm. And especially to me, I am the vine. You know, he or she who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. So that's been on my heart a lot. And a friend of mine, we were having a talk about this whole I am. And she said to me that someone said to her, I am that I am. And I've been thinking a lot about that. And I've been thinking about how, what is it that you need? What is it that I need? What has been happening in my life in these last 6 weeks? And it's just been a reminder that whatever it is, that is what he is, that he meets every need. Mm. I am that I am. Mm.
Hello?
There we Hello. Go.
Praise God. I've been impacted by these teachings in that in every one of the messages, Jesus saying, I am, but then he's also saying, you are a part of me, so you are these things as well. This is an example. I was just pondering, I've been pondering a lot lately about I'm the light of the world. Just want to read a couple of verses in Ephesians 5:8. It says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And over in Matthew 5, it says, in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Here he says in John, I am the light of the world. But here in Matthew, he says, you are the light of the world. And in every one of these, in every one of these verses, Jesus doesn't just follow it. Jesus doesn't just speak to us. He then does those things. And by doing it, he sets the bar for us. He sets the requirement for us. He says, I've healed the sick, now you heal the sick. I've raised the dead, you raise the dead. I am light, you are light. I'm a shepherd, you pastor my sheep. You love my sheep. In every one of those cases, God's just been speaking to me, we need to be Jesus in the world. We need to do the things he did. We need to be his hands, his feet, his voice, his love, his power in the earth.
Amen. I had a conversation with Gary Schultz, and Gary said, check it out in Scripture. When God says, I am, shortly after that, he follows it up with, I will. And so it was a cool little study. Check it out sometime. God says, I am, and he also says, I will. You know, and so he says, I am the light, and he makes us light. You know, he says, you're going to do this too. So, Tim?
Just bear with me. My heart is pounding pretty hard. Last week when I volunteered to read Scripture up front, I didn't know what section I was going to be reading, but when I saw it, it was great because if you're familiar with Awana's Club, I've been an Awana's leader for many, many years, and this was a whole section that we had to memorize last year. As leaders, we did that. So
God prepared you in advance.
Yeah, a little bit. It took a little of the edge off anyways. But in this is John chapter 10. It's, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow them because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And that was a key part for me about the stranger's voice, because I am a huge, huge sports fan. It's really a passion. I love baseball, basketball, football, tennis, golf. And I was thinking about voices, and I was thinking you could shut the TV off and not show me a picture. And if I heard Brent Musburger's voice, I would know immediately who it is. Or Keith Jackson from college football. Or Bob Uecker from baseball. And I was thinking how important it is. These are all good voices. These aren't bad voices. But to hear Jesus' voice and to recognize it, I really need to be conscious of that, because it's not always a blatant voice of bad, like commit a crime or do drugs or something. But we're listening to competing voices a lot of times that are good, that can be good voices. And it still doesn't change the fact that we need to be listening to and recognizing Jesus' voice. And the second part of the verse that really struck for me was, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, because it gives us such a clear picture of who Christ is, and that salvation is only through him and through him being the gate. And it also says he will come in and out and find pasture. And I was just thinking about how great pasture is. It's really just sustenance, and pasture is water, grass, so it's food, you know, for the animals in this example, and shade and shelter. And, you know, so this, just the simplicity of that and how we're cared for each and every day, regardless of everything else that goes on us and swirls around us in life, we know where we can find that simplicity of pasture. That's
Amen.
It.
Amen.
I'd just like to share, I don't know who it was that was preaching, but I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. John chapter 15 talks about the union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And in that chapter, talks much about bearing fruit, Jesus saying, abiding in him, abiding in me. And as the sermon was going on, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And my heart was just convicted as I was hearing that, and causing me to examine my heart. And Lord, I just felt like the Lord saying, I want to bring more fruit into your life. I want to, this purging that I'm doing and these things that I'm showing to you, I want you to still abide in me. I want you to trust me.
Yeah.
And I want you to continue on. And then as the sermon was going forth, in verse 11 it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it's like the Lord was showing me, you know, if you will continue to abide in my love, and if you allow me to continue to purge you, then your joy, you will experience this joy. Your joy will be full, and the fruition will come of it. But I want you to press in. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus reminded me again in verse 16 of that same chapter, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask in the Father's name, he may give it to you. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. That's what I need in my life. It's that joy, that crying out, that abiding, and that loving. And it's like, Lord, I'm not there yet. Help me. Help me to get there.
That's all part of being on that journey, the pruning, as God changes things in our lives and prunes things away and lifts us up that we might bear more fruit. It fits that analogy of change. Cindy?
In the midst of change in our lives, God is still strong. In the midst of the church transition, personal transitions in our life, and believing and hoping for loved ones, he is still the light of the world.
Amen.
There are times you get to a point where you've interceded, you prayed, you've confessed, you believed, and everything around you is still. And you've done everything that you know to do, and you stand firm in your faith, tightening up the belt of truth, putting on the shield of faith and helmet of salvation, the whole armor of God. And last weekend on Saturday, there are so many areas of my life, I'd say 80% of my life, there's transitions. And from the inmost part of my being, I've done everything that I've known to do and to continue to trust God. And when I don't have any more faith, I think I'm going to be weak, I ask God for more faith. And when you don't know how to pray, God says, pray in the Spirit. So I just prayed in the Spirit because I had no idea what to do because I've done everything I've known to do. And in the midst of that, God was just speaking to me, praise me. I am still the great I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man mm-hmm. can come to the Father but through me. I am holding on to the feet of mm-hmm. Jesus. It's not just praying anymore. I mean, I'm just holding on to his feet and his ankles. And I am still the resurrection. I am the gate for the sheep. You know, and when people... This is harsh for me, but when people really screw up their lives and you've done everything that you know to do and point them to the way and you prayed and you loved and they still make the wrong choice, you get so mad, you know, and you get sad, and whether they're really close to you or not, it's just really hard. But, you know, God is still worthy of praise. He is still the ruler of all things. He still is the creator. He knows the beginning from the end, and he will complete everything. And although there is stillness, there is still strength, and he is still worthy of praise.
Amen. Amen.
I think one of the things that really impressed me through this whole time is God is a God of details. You know, we often will read these words in Scripture and we'll think, well, isn't that nice? He's the light of the world. He's a good shepherd. He's a true vine and all these other things. But I think one of the things that amazes me is when you dig deeper into the meaning of those things, you see how God fulfills and God is every part of that. When you look at he's the light of the world, yeah, he's the light of the world, but you know, when he created the earth, he created the world, he created light and dark, and then he created day and night. You know, when the scientists have gone down to the basic elements of creation, light is there. Everything is made of light. And you know, when we look at all these things, when you start to see what the vine dresser really does and what all the things that go into that and the way, the truth, and life, you know, I think one of the things we don't understand how much our words have meaning and how much his word has meaning. And so when we release a word, it has power, just like when he releases words, it has power. And we need to be very cautious in what we say. But we need to dig deep into his word and see what the real meaning is. It's not just words. There's more to it. And as we dig deeper, we see how God is into the details. He planned it all. Mm-hmm. He knows everything. And there's not a detail in our lives that he is not aware of, interested in, or working in.
Amen. Chris.
I wanted to, you hear me?
Not yet.
My voice is usually
there we
loud.
Go.
the vine. The Sunday after Ron talked on this, I went to a women's conference up in Oshkosh and had the same teaching again, and I went, okay, I just heard this, I know this, but I didn't know it all. This is an addition that spoke to my heart, and Ron's teaching had prepared it. I just get emotional. It's okay. As I've walked through my life, and especially this year, there have been deep, deep hurts and deep, deep healing that God has done. And I got an explanation about that vine dresser that I hadn't heard before. You know, the vines grow from the top of the hill at that day, and they travel down, and they're bruised over rocks or over sticks or over stones.
And when that bruise happens in that vine, it sets down these little sucker roots into the soil. And after that point, there's no decent fruit that comes out of the vine. It's sour, it's small, it's not complete the way God planned it. And that's what life has done in me, I'm sure in many others here, but I can only speak to my experience. And those bruises cause you to put those sucker roots down into the soil of self-sufficiency instead of into God. And the vine dresser walks along the vines and lifts them up, and he takes what's called a girdler. It's a little knife. And he cuts those roots off, and there's a healing. And after that healing and some scarring, the vine goes, the branch there goes back into its insides, and it has to go back to the source to get its life again flowing from the main vine. And after that, the vine starts creating fruit again. And I guess I learned that earlier in my Christian life, this was like, I've been a believer now for 29 years, and I still learn every day from him. And he walks with me every day.
Amen.
And I've learned that I still initially try and put my roots into my own self-sufficiency, which is, I guess, the normal human condition in your flesh. And he lifts me up, and he purges, as this gentleman was saying, he purges, and he heals, and he brings people around you to help you heal, and you go back to the source, and he is that source. And I see parallels, not just in my life, but in the life at Wooded Hills here, that we have put our roots down sometimes into our own self-sufficiency and into past habits and into past structures and past programs, and that he is showing me also that, like an individual believer, our body here, our beloved little Wooded Hills, goes through that. And we are still putting down some suckers into our own self-sufficiencies. And he is so faithful, he's going to lift us up. And he is going to purge that. And he is going to bring us to bearing good fruit. That's his promise to me, and I'm sure to all those that are committed to this little body and to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be lifted up, and we will go back to that main source, and he's dressing us, and there's fruit coming.
Amen. Amen. We talk about God's faithfulness, and we hear teaching over and over about God's faithfulness, but yet it blows us away when he's faithful. And he does what he says he's going to do. Would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, how good it is to gather together in your name. How good it is to come together as your people and worship you and sing your praises. And to be reminded. Father, may we set down memorials and set down markers in our lives to remember key moments, to remember how you've worked in our lives and how you are changing us and how we're on this journey. May we just continue to strive to be more and more like you. May we continue to allow you to prune us, though it may hurt, though it may be painful in the process. The end result is that we will bear much more fruit, much more. Hebrews 12 says, since we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection, praise God, and the gate, Father, we want to cause you to smile. Continue to prune us, to shape us, and to shine through us. In Jesus' name, amen.